Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And you've been soul ascended just now. This is wonderful music, and we'll be hearing more of it ongoingly because David Young has offered me to play it starting shows. David Young is an unusual musician. The kind of music he plays really enraptures his audiences in ways that they connect spiritually into other dimensions, into other worlds, other universes where they're visited and have experiences with ascended masters, with loved ones on the other side. He's an amazing musician. He's been nominated for Grammys. He has sold over a million copies of his albums. He's made 57 albums. A man who's very inspired and offers us an opportunity to be inspired and to go into a consciousness that's really incredible. I've been to one of his concerts, and I was amazed at how profound his music was. So we're going to talk to him and find out who he is, why he does what he does, what happened in his life that brought him to this place. David Young, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. Nice to be here.
Well, glad you are. So what happened? You were a normal, everyday guy.
I used to be a normal, everyday guy. What can I say? I used to just like to play music. And it's almost kind of humorous because I was just playing from my heart. I was just hoping people would relax and maybe have some inner experience with the inner light. I didn't know anything about channeling. And I was just very surprised that people in the audience who looked just like normal people were starting to share experiences of reconnecting with a grandmother, a favorite grandfather, a best friend from childhood that was on the other side, and they would share these in-depth conversations. And in the heavenly realm, these were people who were not necessarily having a background of channeling, but there was something about the energy at the event and the music that I played and the whole vibration that I had created that opened them up to be able to have this experience. And it was a big surprise because I'd never had an experience like that. So first of all, I didn't even know those things were possible. Can you imagine how weird that would be, thinking that you're just playing some nice relaxing music and maybe people say, oh, I saw this purple light, or saying that, you know, 20 people from their family lined up for them, 20 people who are now in the heavenly realm, lined up, one by one, each one of them hugged them, kissed them, told them something that they loved to do with them, and then the next person hugged them and kissed them and told them something they loved to do with them, or gave them a message to give to somebody on earth. That's how it started. And so it was consistent. Once it started, it never stopped. And there, in a group of 20 or 25 people, there would be 5 to 10 people who'd share an experience like that. It's amazing.
And so you have been inspired to do more of that, obviously, and direct your music towards those experiences.
Well, these events that I do, they were called soul activation events for about a year because people were going to different psychics and spiritual people and having this soul activation. And so people were telling me that when they came to my events, they were experiencing this soul activation where all of a sudden their light was brighter, was turned on, and there was a definite change in their life. And so because people were doing these things privately, and because in a group setting, people were experiencing that, I decided to call the events in 2014 the soul activation events. And then what happened was about 6 months ago, my publicist and I were having a conversation, and by accident, he said, you know, we need to get this new press release for the soul ascension events out to such and such a person. And I said, Michael, I know you said soul ascension by accident, but with everything that's happening with the ascension on the planet and with the fact that the energy at these events in the last couple of months has gone so much higher, incrementally higher, I like the sound of soul ascension events better. And I want you to change all of our press materials to say soul ascension events. That was on a weekday. It was probably like 8 o'clock at night. The next morning, there was an email from Andrew Kane, who is somebody who works very closely with our organization. And he didn't know that I had this conversation with my publicist, Michael. And the email that I got from Andrew Kane was that the Heavenly team told him that we're supposed to change the name of the events from Soul Activation Events to Soul Ascension Events. And he didn't know that I had made that decision the night before.
More than a coincidence.
Yeah. And, you know, after a while, you actually get used to this stuff. Because when you're doing good things and increasing the love and the spirituality awareness and on this planet, the universe helps out because, you know, that's what the universe does.
Oh, it's wonderful that you're having these experiences for others. What have you connected with? Are you having these experiences yourself? Because your ears are hearing the music you're playing.
Well, this is true, but one of the things that happens with people at the events is that the music relaxes them. It kind of hypnotizes them in a way. And they're able to completely disconnect from their physical body. When I'm playing my flutes, I play two flutes at one time. So every time my hands grab another flute, a different size flute, or if I adjust the frequency of the reverbs and delays that I'm using with the flute, every time I move my arm, it brings me back into my body.
Right.
You know, so at the events, I don't have the same events as people because I'm interacting physically, where their physical body is in a relaxed position so they can just detach from it.
Well, maybe you need to play the CDs that you're making, your albums.
Well, I do listen to my music all the time when I'm not playing because I've got 57 albums. It's not like I'm listening to the same song over and over. I've got enough to play one album a day for 2.5 days. And
so the audience listening to this show doesn't have to come to one of your events. Since they're all over the place, they can also purchase a CD and have these experiences.
There's over 10,000 healers that have been using my music every day since about 2000. Okay, I don't really have any way of knowing how many healers and hospitals and wellness centers use my music now, just because as of 14 years ago, it was a lot. And, you know, with the popularity of spirituality and how important it is for people to have the right music to take into their meditation, it's a beautiful thing.
How about in your promotion material, I see that Johns Hopkins Medical Centers actually have entire floors that play your music 24/7.
The way I found that out was kind of interesting because I was at an event and these two women came up to me. They said, "We can't thank you enough." I'm like, "What are you thanking me for?" She says, "Well, we work at Johns Hopkins Medical Centers, and I don't know if it was 5 years ago or 7 years ago, they had bought a bunch of my CDs someplace. You know, I've sold way over 1 million CDs, so there's no way to keep track of all those things." And they found that by playing my CDs 24/7 in their hospital on certain floors, I don't know why there are certain floors that have it, certain floors that don't, but they felt like it was the most healing music on the planet, and it's become such an integral part of people in the healing process.
So there are a lot of health practitioners who might be listening to the show.
Yeah.
And then they can start doing this for themselves.
If you go to my website, davidyoungmusic.com, just click on meditation music. That's all the healing music. Every day, about 300,000 people between all the healing centers that use my music, it reaches about 300,000 people every day.
That's great. So where do you think this is all leading to for you?
Well, I guess the first step of taking this into the unknown was when people started sharing their experiences with their loved ones in heaven. That was the first, really? Wow. And then after about 6 months of that, three people at one event saw Jesus standing in the same spot in the room. And I grew up in a Jewish family, and I didn't really know what to think of any of this. I didn't know that was possible. You know, this has been an incredible education, and I had been meditating for 30 years before these things started to happen. And so I called up a channeler who I knew very well. His name was Bob Murray, and he just crossed about 6 months ago, but he was an amazing guy. His website is thestarsstillshine.com, and he would interview four people in heaven every month, whether it was Albert Einstein or Princess Diana or John Lennon and George Harrison. And he had done this for 30 years, and so he was, to say that he was good at it, was incredible. He had a way of being in his soul body in the etheric realms and have his physical body be at his computer. And he had this down where he could have actual conversations that were interpreted like word for word with somebody in heaven at the exact same time as he was typing it into his computer at home. And so he had an incredible influence on me because he taught me so much about what is possible with all this stuff. And so I called him up to ask him, this is pretty bizarre, but, you know, Jesus showed up to three people last night, and what does that mean? Why would he come to my event? And I'm sure you would have a lot of questions yourself if something like that happened. And so Bob, because he was a professional channeler, he reached out, was able to contact him. You know, he had his publicist's phone number. No, I'm joking about the publicist's phone number. And so I had my first conversation with him, and I said, I think this feels pretty bizarre having a conversation with you because I grew up Jewish. And he said, well, I can understand that. I grew up Jewish also. You know, and I thought, oh, this guy's actually funny, you know. And I said, well, can you tell me a little about yourself? Because I don't know what to believe about what I've heard about you. I don't know what to think about any of this, to tell you the truth. So tell me what you like or what you don't like. And so, you know, that's a way of starting a friendship, if you want to call it that. You know, it's some common... He didn't have a Facebook profile, so I had to ask the questions, right?
Right.
So he said, well, I don't like pedestals. He says, when we put others up on a pedestal, the only thing we get is a stiff neck. And that was the second time he made me laugh in a very short time. And I thought, wow, this is like a... This is kind of fun, you know. And he said, I don't like rituals. He says, when people do rituals, it does not get anyone any closer to God. It actually creates a barrier because that's just the way it works. You know, you want to talk to God, you talk to God from your heart. You don't have to say it a certain way.
So in other words, rituals that are standardized, dogmatic rituals he's talking about.
Yeah. The first thing I thought about was the Catholic Church, but then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, wow, every religion has got rituals that could be 500 or 2,000 or 4,000 years old.
And there are rituals that can put you into an altered state.
They can.
Right. He's really talking about rituals that really are a dogma that are superficial.
Yeah, I mean, if you say the same exact prayer every day for a year, after a while, it's just, you know what I mean? There's no heart involved.
Your heart has to be in it.
Right. So when you wake up every morning and, like, let's say you're going to say a prayer to God. So for a long time, I said this prayer. I would say, make me a channel for the divine spirit. May every word I say, may every thought I think, may every action be in the name of the divine spirit, the great spirit. I said that every day for probably 10 years. But, you know, after a while, you just go on to automatic in your mind. And so it's actually better to not necessarily just change it up, but to speak through your heart to the Creator, to the Source. So it's not just saying the same thing.
Right. Your heart knows what to say each moment.
Right. Really be in that moment instead of just go on to like a tape recording in your head and say, okay, well, I got 10 more words and then I can go brush my teeth or whatever it is, you know?
Right. So, coming back to Jesus.
Yeah. So that was the second thing. He said he didn't like rituals. And the third thing he said, well, everything caught my attention, you know. But the third thing was, like, kind of shocking in a way. Just because, well, he said I did not create Christianity.
Sure.
And that's a big one. And so what happened next is I was sharing this with a friend of mine. And I told her these three things. And she told me that word for word, she had read a book that a woman wrote supposedly channeled by Jesus. And those words exactly were in this book.
So there's corroboration. And that goes on and on because you have a lot of people who come to your events and have experiences that corroborate with other people at the event at the same time.
Right. You know, we have this thing about logic and what is a fact. Now, it takes a while sometimes for something to be accepted as fact. You know, if you go back 500 years, it was fact that the world was flat. You couldn't even talk about it. It was against the law to say that the world was not flat. That's what happened with Galileo.
So if we have enough people having corroborated experiences, that's scientific proof.
It's scientific proof, and that is what changes reality. Because reality is a temporary thing. Reality 500 years ago was that the world was flat, okay? Reality changed because they had more knowledge, more information that confirmed that the world was not flat, the world was round. So we have had for thousands of years people thinking that the only way to connect with Jesus or Buddha or whatever ascended master you want to talk about, that the only way to really connect with them was by going to a certain place, giving a certain amount of your money, reading a certain book. What's happening now is that all the ascended masters are making themselves completely accessible and approachable to people. And that is what is changing in the world now.
And they need to be in a mindset or a soul set that can receive that. And so we're looking for...
That's why people come to my events.
Exactly.
Because the music relaxes them. It's a very safe environment. There's nothing that anybody could say that would sound weird to me. I did 132 events this year. 132 events, okay? And 855 people at these events shared their conversations and experiences with Jesus or Buddha or Mother Mary or Kuan Yin or Lao Tzu. And 1,257 people shared their experiences with their grandmothers, favorite grandfathers, somebody who they love, on the other side. After hearing over 2,000 people share these experiences, it's not possible for anybody to say anything that would sound weird to me, because I've heard...
But it's more than that, because it's really more grounded in the information that these experiences have for people. Certainly when people are having the exact same experiences with these masters, it's not like three people go, "Oh, I just saw Buddha. Isn't that nice?" And you could say, well, that's just suggestion. But those three people had Buddha show them something, give them a sign of something that's identical for each person.
Exactly. So it could be a sign that they have given them, or helpful healing information that that person needs to have. So if a person gets some knowledge or information that they were not aware of, that's proof that they had a real experience with them. But I really do want to say that there's no limit to what the magical things that they can do. There were five people in one class or one workshop that Jesus gave five people the same Hebrew symbol, okay? There was another workshop.
And a Hebrew symbol, nonetheless.
Well, go with what you know, right? There was another one where this woman in the front on the left, she shared this experience that Lady Kuan Yin came to her. And if you're not familiar with Lady Kuan Yin, she's like the divine feminine in Asian culture, the way Mother Mary is a divine feminine in Western culture. Okay? And so Kuan Yin came to her. She was enveloped in this golden light, and she had a teapot. And she poured this golden light from the teapot into her teacup. Okay? Now, one of the ways that you can tell when somebody else in the room has had an experience similar to what somebody has just shared is because when somebody in the back of the room goes, "Oh my God, I had the same experience," you know, when you hear that, you can pretty much trust it, right? You know? And then when there's a third person who had the exact same experience,
right?
You know, and you hear their excitement, and everybody in the room just gets this rush, because it's like confirmation times a million. You know, we've waited our whole lives to have this kind of confirmation that these people who had such an influence on the planet, after they had already, let's say, gone to the heavenly realm, and the fact that it confirms that you can have an experience with one of them, that it just is a total door opener. And this is what is happening now. This is part of the whole thing with the ascension. It's safe now for people to share their experiences, where 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, you couldn't talk about your spiritual experiences in public, because if you did, bad things happened. You know, you were either a kook, or, you know, they actually killed Jesus for disturbing the peace. That was the Roman law. He was disturbing the peace, sharing the peace, and they called it disturbing the peace.
Well, we're seeing a lot of trouble in the world right now with a lot of disturbance, and we're moving into a more, let's call it, ascended place, that we will all know the truth with more light than we've been able to see it before.
And it's not only the ascended masters who appear to people. And I didn't know anything about these beings called archangels. I didn't even know how to spell it. I mean, on the first postcard that I wrote, I spelled it wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have an experience with an archangel, which, whether it's Archangel Michael or Gabriel or Raphael or Uriel, the size, they are giants. They are spiritual giants. You know, so if our soul is, let's say, you know, 6 feet tall or 5 feet tall, you know, their soul is like 20 or 30 feet tall.
Let's say that their light is so much greater that that creates the experience of size.
Exactly. And I think that a lot of people, although I know this from my own experience, that when you experience the presence of an archangel, you think it's God the Almighty, the Creator, because it is so gigantic, powerful, and that it's you don't think that it's anything less than the Creator itself, because that's how gigantic it is, you know, and profound it is.
Right, and we, it's hard for us to differentiate how to appreciate these beings, and even from each other, from ourselves, from our loved ones out there, because this is all different multidimensional understandings.
Totally, but they interact with us.
Yes.
We may not be aware of it. We may think it's just like the hand of God or something like that, but they interact with us also.
Or in subtle ways that we don't even know that it is them.
Absolutely.
Even or God or anything.
I have an example of a way that Archangel Michael interacted with me that was like a beautiful confirmation. Now, I do these personal one-on-one readings with people where somebody comes to me and they have a part of their life they wish they were better at or a stumbling block, you know. And I channel a message for them, and I sing that message with my guitar into their cell phone. So instead of trying to remember a sentence as just an affirmation, I create a musical affirmation for them. So the melody strengthens the message in their mind, and that's why they teach kids the ABCs with a song, and that's why people with Alzheimer's disease who can't remember their name can still sing Amazing Grace from beginning to end.
You're a very unusual guy because you're gifted with an understanding of how to use music so spiritually, even if you don't understand it yourself.
Sure.
you know you're doing it. So it's really important that you're finding new ways to enhance people's experience of their...
We're all doing that. You're doing it. All the healers, you know, what is the typical way that people in their healing career, what is the typical path? Well, somebody gets into massage therapy. Okay, so they do massage therapy for a year or two, and then they realize that there's a certain energy that's coming through them, so they realize that they're doing Reiki. Oh, my God, I didn't realize that, you know. And then after doing Reiki for a while, because that spiritual energy is coming through them, they realize that they are getting messages for the person they are healing. That message could be something about, well, you know, maybe you should change your diet, you know, maybe you should do this, whatever that is. Okay, so that's the third level, getting a message about a person's health. But the way it happens, the next step is that person who started out as a massage therapist, then realized they were doing Reiki, and then was giving them medical...
Let's call it healing. We don't
sure.
know. Reiki is the label that people
right
use, and healing energy can be anything.
Yeah. And so then the next step, after they've been giving them a message about their health or healing, the next step is they start giving them messages that spirit is giving them.
Right.
Could be about one of their loved ones in heaven. It could be about anything. So then that person is now channeling information from the heavenly world.
And this is what I teach in my school. I teach intuitive development classes. And this
right
is
on.
The objective is for people to get to that place where their hearing is open.
Yeah.
And hearing is more easily opened than seeing, although some of us can see, and there are a lot of people who can see better than I can. I can hear better than most. So we all have different
sure.
abilities.
I did want to share something about this experience that I had where I was doing this reading for this person. And I was, after she explained her situation, I was given 9 words. I am strong, I am protected, and I am confident. I wrote down those 9 words. I wrote those words into a song right there in front of her, and I sang that song into her cell phone. So this way she could remember the song and sing it all the time. and reprogram herself so this way it was something positive, where before it was the opposite of something positive. Okay? So when I was done singing that into her phone, she told me that Archangel Michael came to her the previous week and gave her those exact 9 words.
This is wonderful. And hopefully we can talk again at some point when you're back in New York.
Sure.
And it's really helpful for our audience to know about you. And where can they find you on the internet?
My website is davidyoungmusic.com. I have a new program that's live streaming of my spiritual events to people all over the world if they can't make it to whatever city I'm in. And you can find out about that through ihope.world. And we'll give you a link, so this way anybody who wants to do the meditations with us, they can find a link directly on your website, Peter. Right. And we'll give that to you at the end of
That's
the interview.
That's great. David Young, thanks so much. It's incredible talking with you. You're
Pleasure.
Really doing great work on this planet.
And thank you. So are you.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.